Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
My Doja Coaster game over, soldier. I'm coolin', be on the sofa. Niggas is posers and I'm the sculptor. Don't mean to insult ya, but fuck the vultures. I feel them the dopeness and proper dosage. I crank up the focus to get it amplified. Feel it's in the skillet, but still it's some bigger fish to
fry. You are listening live.
We'll do it live!
That is, of course, unless you're not listening live. This is the Pro Wrestling Torch East Coast cast. It is Wednesday, December 4th. 2019. I'm your host. I'm Travis Bryant. And joining me, per usual, is my main man, co-host extraordinaire, Cameron Hawkins. Cam, what'd it be like?
I'm typing out a mean tweet about you right now. Other than that, I'm doing pretty well, as a matter of fact.
So a mean, unnecessary, and unwarranted tweet.
No, you deserve all of it.
Oh. We got plenty to talk about today. Let's turn that volume all the way up. Let's get to it. Let me first go ahead and give out all the pertinent contact information. If you want to reach out and talk to us, there are two ways to have your voice heard on this here show. The first way is jump in line, talk to us directly, get in queue, and we will take your call and talk to you on this here show. So get at us, 347-202-0103. That is the number to call in. Once again, that's 347-202-0103. The other way to have your voice heard, especially if you can't call in live, drop us a voicemail. We've got a couple of those tonight. Hit us on the voicemail line. You've got 3 unadulterated minutes to ask questions, pose comments, rant, rave, whatever you want. 3 minutes there. That number is, 415-787-5229. Once again, that's 415-787-5229. So get at us on the voicemail. Also, the chat room is open for you one or two stragglers that decide to pop by every now and then. Chat room is open. Find the show on Twitter at East Coast Cast, twitter.com/EastCoastCast. You can find my personal Twitter at TravLord. You can find Cam at Seahawk. That's C-E-E Hawk. And the last bastion of Get Adage, find us on Facebook. The Facebook fan page can be found at facebook.com/PWTorchEastCoastCast. Or just search East Coast Cast or PW Torch or however you want. Go like the page, post it on your timeline, tag your wrestling pals in it. Get them involved with the whole program. You know how that works. So, yeah, that's that. Cam, what's the story? What's the A story coming out of the last week in wrestling?
I have no idea.
What do you mean?
You know, it's kind of a week where we're building to a pay-per-view next week, but we don't really have matches announced. So it's going to be a pretty busy, you know, 3 shows. 4 shows with NXT, depending on if they're on the card, but yeah, it's kind of open-ended. You know, nothing really I would say, is happening on TV as far as WWE goes. But yeah, it's just kind of a standard thing. I mean, maybe a place to lead off would be NXT ratings going up, AEW ratings going down, and if that means anything, or if it's a Wednesday night thing. But yeah, there's nothing to me that really sticks out. I mean, and probably if I had to jump with one single thing, it would be the Fiend title belt.
Okay, so I got a little more insight, if you want to call it that, to the Fiend title belt, about how, you know, handmade, and it is a very a custom thing that somebody, and not all of them will be the same, because somebody's sitting there with their hands making them, and that's just how that works.
Which is
and
pretty
I'm
cool.
Like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I still, even if I had $7,200 to throw away and to wipe my ass with, would not spend it on that. Like, if it was a regularly priced belt, same quality, it just, or not same quality, similar quality, but like a more assembly line, mass produced feel to it, and it was $270, $370, $400, but whatever, you know, somewhere between $200 and $600, and I could fuck off $200 or $600, nope, wouldn't do it. What is, for what? It's not a TV belt. He's never worn it. It's, you know, the Smoking Skulls belt was at least they put it on TV. The Radar belt, the Spinner belt, of course, were all over TV for years and years and years. This thing is just the thing so they could try to make $7,000 on a belt. And I don't care what you tell them. Unless they made $200, who's this person that's hand making all these that's making it worthwhile? So if they're like, everybody gets one, or the ability to get one, they make 30,000 of these things, or even 3,000 of them. I'm like, handmade, huh? Handcrafted by, you know, and all the hype they put, or all the superlatives they put into their description. Like, I don't buy it. Or even if I do, I
like,
still ain't buying
what,
it.
What? How many of them are they planning on producing? Like a few thousand?
Yeah, I don't. Whatever.
It would have to, like I would too, though. Like, it would have to be like a numbered one that said 6 of 200. Like,
if it's like that bourbon that has like the wax lid, and they talk in the commercials, they're like, well, we hand close these with the wax at the end of production, and everybody has their different like way of dipping the thing and twisting to make the wax, like, you know, tie off. And I'm like, oh, okay. If you want to say, yeah, we've got 100 skilled people making these, you know, $3,000-$4,000, but however many they're going to do. Okay, but to try to make it sound like this one famous artist, this one designer guy is like sitting there, you know, churning these things out. I'm already calling bullshit.
Yeah, it's a lot. I think that was it stuck out just because of the conversation. Like, I'm imagining somebody coming up like at WrestleMania in Tampa, walking around with that damn thing. Like, you're not safe. Like, even if you're safe, you're not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a lick.
You are like, yeah, you're a walking lick.
I feel like the resale, you put that thing, I feel like that's a StockX thing. Like, you could put that on a sneakerhead website and really make money. Like, oh my goodness, you're paying your rent for the year off of a lick. Oh my goodness. But no, I mean, I think Daniel Bryan and The Fiend were, I guess, kind of a highlight of Survivor Series, in that it just showed me how good Daniel Bryan really is. Like, for me to hate the format of The Fiend matches, for me to hate that stupid light, for me to think that they shouldn't go long, Daniel Bryan is just that good, to where I was like, oh, this is still good. And you know, so them probably getting together at TLC, or maybe even all the way to the Royal Rumble, I'm here for that. You have, you know, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. You can't ever call it a double turn with Kevin Owens because he's one of the few characters that has the agency to where he can come out and say the right thing, and you're like, okay, makes sense why he's doing that. I think that's pretty good. You know, we're getting more AOP after months and months of teasing them. Like, if you're going to invest that much time into an act, this is the right way to bring them back in. So that's there. All of a sudden, like, Randy Orton is, you know, not to me because I ain't watching that shit, but is a lot more interesting to people who have more open minds. You know, firmly a face, the other side of AJ. So if you're one of those people who notices that Randy Orton, you know, dogs it early and often, he does seem to be motivated. I mean, even more so in promo alone, working with AJ Styles. So I think that's a good thing. You know, again, they're building to this. It looks like they're building to Kabuki Warriors and Charlotte and Becky in a TLC match for the tag titles. And I don't like Charlotte being able to go 15 minutes with the Kabuki Warriors. Not a fan of that.
Wait, by herself?
Yes, in a handicap match for 15 minutes with them.
See, I didn't see. I saw Seth's promo. I saw a very little, just some of the first hour. Wow. Come on.
Yeah. Like that.
And they've gotten away from that. They used to do that a lot in the mid 2000s, like handicap matches with big stars, but I don't care. I don't care if you're The Rock and it's Curtis Axel and, you know, with Bo Dallas. Like, they should win because they're two capable people and it's one of you. I don't care how good you are. Or you got to book it in a way where it's just, you know, and they don't. They just have them beat the guys straight. It's just, you know, hey, I'm going to watch y'all in 5 minutes. Or I'm going to hang with y'all and then watch y'all in, you know, 10 or 12, 15. So
Yeah. I'm interested to see where they go with.
They should do their ass in a TLC match Becky shows up.
And, yeah, to flip sides, interested to see where they go with Scorpio Sky now, who, you know, lost, not clean, but clean, you know, to Jericho after putting on a good performance. I hope that they let him come out and cut, you know, a good promo and that they can build off that. I mean, everything else on Dynamite was pretty by the books.
I wasn't a fan of last week. I mean, we had that stupid opening segment, which was just like, I thought we weren't. So we're sports entertaining for 20 minutes to start the show?
Yeah.
The one thing people have been complaining thing for 20 years, certainly 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
I was very disappointed in that. Like, the NXT, and it was what was going on NXT for how they opened up their show, which they did in 8 minutes, and it was flames, you know, with Adam Cole coming out there and they talking that cash shit, and then they get confronted and they set up everything for the next 2 months probably for the rest of the year, TV for the rest of the year. And then I'm looking at Dynamite and there's Vic's Vapor Rub, there's a birthday party, there's blow up, people. And Virgil?
Yeah. It stopped being funny. It stopped being funny when he was doing it himself. You know?
I just didn't understand, like, what. And more like, not because of. Oh, look, because I had it on mute, so forever, I couldn't even tell you what was going on. You could make it out. But it was just because we were supposed to be. I thought we were doing things different. Like, did I miss the memo where we're trying to be WWE light? That's always the problem. Yeah. That was TNA's problem. That's a lot of problems with companies when they try to get on. They go, well, this is what's been working for the last however many years. Like, well, has it been working? Or have people been very much complaining about that?
Don't let me discount. You get a really good, you know, Kenny Omega Pac match. You know, MJF Hangman Page was fine. Bea Priestley and Emi Sakura and Statlander and Sheeta, like, that was good. Like, there was some good wrestling on there.
But the finish to that was stupid as fuck.
Which one?
The Statlander Emi Sakura match.
With the, yeah.
Because as soon as I saw Chris Statlander, I was like, holy shit, who's she? I want to know more about her. She looks great. Mm-hmm. She looks credible. And there was a few things with how she wrestles. She, like, stops and celebrates after every move. But I was intrigued. She looks credible. Like, wow, here we go. And then they had, like, arguably the corniest woman on the roster beat her. Like, I like Riho better than her. I like Sheeta better than her. I like B and Jamie Hayter better than Emi Sakura. Emi Sakura fucking sucks. She's fine in the ring. I don't mean like she blows spots and all that. But she's fucking trash. And that corny-ass gimmick she got with Freddie Mercury bullshit is trash. And then they bring this new intriguing woman on, and first thing they do is they have the corniest woman on the roster beat her. Like, what the fuck are they doing?
So, you know, on the flip side, you have NXT celebrating, you know, winning Survivor Series as a whole. And again, Undisputed Era carrying themselves like jerks. I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, crashing the party.
Yeah, you know, Ciampa cutting great Ciampa promos like he does. Tag title match, great. You know, Kyle O'Reilly's streak still intact. I'm just not into Mansoor. I don't know what he's supposed to be. I think the guy, like the actual person, is kind of interesting on Twitter, but he's just a guy. I also think Shane Thorne is a really good hand. I don't know if it'll ever, like, be a thing.
That's about it, though.
Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate that there's, like, a guy like Akira Tozawa was basically steamrolled by Andrade. And then when he gets in there with Leo Rush, they go, you know, 10 minutes and do all the cool stuff. But, yeah, you can't really
fight
that.
And then he gets embarrassed and steamrolled by Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. You know, you get Balor Ciampa, which is good. You get, you know, Rhea Ripley, Shayna Baszler is coming to a head. You hope that that means, like in a perfect world, Rhea Ripley beats Shayna Baszler at the TakeOver before Rumble, and Shayna Baszler wins the Rumble. Like, in a perfect world. I don't know if that's what happens, but, you know, their match is going to be really good. You feel like the next time they go, it's going to have a firm finish. I mean, I don't think it's just familiarity, Travis, and it absolutely could be, and I hope that the callers can speak to it one way or another. But, like, when I look at this AEW ad about blowing NXT out the water and smokes NXT and all that, like, I'm sure that the extended version of that media is in the ratings or in quarter hour or, you know, or demographic or whatever. I'm sure that's what it is. But, like, for that to happen the same week that they beat you in the overall ratings, and for somebody like me to look at NXT and say, this is just a better, crisper show.
Yeah, it was just fundamentally and inherently, and you could say, well, they were coming off of a hot weekend, and like, yeah, sure, that was indeed true. But they also set themselves up, like I said, they set the next month of TV. So you're like already, you have the ability to now anticipate things, even something that's not even necessarily booked yet, but you can be like, oh, well, this is probably where they're going by the end of the year. This is where they're going into the Royal Rumble. And all that does is make you interested and make you much more likely to come back and watch the next week or certainly some of the next show. So, yeah, they're just doing things in a more consistent eye on, you know, 3, 6, 12 months from now. Not just,
Yeah, and the timing couldn't have been worse, like you said. And it also wasn't true. I'm like, yeah, just fundamentally, like, what? Yeah. Y'all don't need to have NXT name in y'all mouth, for real, for real. Like, if I was calling things, I'd be like, just not even because of you might be on any given week showing up or embarrassed.
Yeah, worry about you.
Not even for that. Just because, you know what? Let's just be better.
Exactly.
Try to be better.
It just makes sense.
So I didn't see Raw. What happened with Seth Rollins in the main event? Was he in the main event?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, one, I want to say Drew McIntyre is looking great, like getting back to where he's supposed to be. But no, Seth wasn't in the main event. It was a big tag match. Who was it? It was the OC. It was, because I know Ricochet took the pin. Was it those two and Orton? I think it was those two and Orton. It was OC versus Ricochet, Carrillo, and Rey Mysterio. Orton laid him out at the end of the match. But yeah, Ricochet
laid out
the
heel
with the Styles Clash. Yeah, but no, Orton laid out the heels. So OC beating Ricochet, Carrillo, and Mysterio. Somebody said, what do you name this team? And I said, Shut up and wrestle and Humberto Carrillo.
He doesn't say much either.
One of them at least has the excuse of English not being their first language.
All right. And hey, like Impact or like Dynamite, this ain't the week to say, you know, like Ray just came off his best promo maybe of his career. So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
What's happening? Yeah, I lost my thought. What else? What's like a B story? I'm sorry, I got distracted.
On Raw? I mean, it would be.
No,
Seth Rollins' allegiance. We haven't been talking about Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley got arrested.
I did see that.
For, you know, being with a white girl in Tennessee, basically.
And them acknowledging basically that.
Yeah. We did things differently in Tennessee.
And then they had the brother go out there and give the line. Like,
yeah.
You ain't going to come in here messing things up for me, getting these white folks
tell
all
them about the gun line, boss.
Getting them all riled up and looking at me funny. Mm-mm. Yeah. Not why you intend to get old Tenny Key. I really like
Rusev's shirt, like, if anything. Like, hey, they got that out of this nonsense.
Yeah.
And as dumb as it is, that was... that was an intense, like, you know, like a fun segment. Once you get past, like, the nonsense of it. Like, him coming in, getting the jump. The cops look like idiots standing there letting them beat him up and didn't run in there and do anything. So I think Lashley had a point to be upset. But that was fun. And Rusev, you know, deranged Rusev with nothing left to lose. Hey, they might be on to something. The wild look in his eyes, the unshaven, you know, look in the shirt. Anytime somebody jumps over the barricade, beats somebody up, and runs back through the crowd, that's just, as long as you don't do it too much, that's always going to be like, holy shit, this thing's happening. Look at this. So, I thought that was fun. And they got to get something fun out of this drab, dreary of a fucking storyline that they've been telling the last month and a half.
Yeah.
which I'm still not, I still don't know what, like, the end, like, what is, yeah, which makes me think they don't know what the fuck the end goal is or anything. Lana on a pole match?
I mean, she did just have a movie come out. I don't know, maybe she's taking time off. I don't know, but it's all dumb. Like, nobody's going to kill each other, and nobody's going to quit. So what are we talking about?
And they're still married, and like IRL. So yep. it doesn't, on that level, it's just like,
that's silly.
So in a year from now, when they're snugged up on Instagram or, you know, doing various couple things out and at a damn Nashville Predators game or at a rodeo, what the fuck? Oh, we were just playing the part, you know, I'm Alexander, yeah. You know, that's, you know, Stacy or whatever the fuck Lana's real name is. Maybe it's Lana. I don't know.
Yes,
CJ
Perry. Yeah.
That's right. Anything worth talking about from last week's SmackDown?
No. Like, no. You know, Kofi did just surpass day 1,000 as a tag champion. Their podcast came out, which I thought was pretty interesting. Some real gems in there. I mean, his biggest thing was, you know, I choose to be positive about things that might not seem very positive. I think Xavier Woods made me a little bit of money because, you know, I've been sitting on a couple of ideas for merch, and mm-hmm. he basically said when he got to the main roster, they let him know that they already had a Kofi, so he would have to do something different. And I was stunned. Not like real life stunned, not like stunned at white people stunned, but normal stunned. Because I can see that happening, even though you and I would acknowledge they're nothing alike. Like, they're nothing alike.
Right.
Except.
Like, personality wise or like wrestling wise.
They're not built the same. They don't move the same.
Right. There's nothing besides,
like, you know,
they are black guys who are into various forms of nerd culture. That's it.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you know.
That's you and I, and we don't, you know, we're obviously very different people.
For them to say that in a company.
They said we already got Cam.
I'd be like, I'm not fucking Cam. Like, I'm not even trying to be Cam. Like, what are you talking about? A company that has Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Elias, and Drew McIntyre, and Ali, and Mansoor, who all had the exact same look.
Literally.
Like,
I know. Fucking, you can go on and on down the damn line.
I have that stringy black hair look.
For the last forever, with wet black hair, showed neck and shoulder length. Like, shut up, shut up.
To have that exist in your company, it's just, like, you know what that is, and we know what that is, and they can't say what that is, but we can say it. So I made that sticker that says, marking out for everybody black, and I'm going to slap them everywhere in Houston.
Nice.
Because clearly they at least need our support in the sense of seeing that somebody supports you and they support you for you, for exactly what the fuck you are. So, yeah. That's that.
So
but they are. I mean, you hate for him to fall back into the tag team hole, but, you know, his time at the top was good because he's doing great work right now. And Big E's doing great work. It was them against Cesaro and who was the main event of SmackDown?
I'm pretty sure I saw SmackDown, but I don't remember.
Yeah, it was Cesaro and I got it. Shinsuke Nakamura. Yeah.
Oh yeah, with his face at ringside. Yeah. They even had the Sheamus vignette earlier in the show, which, I mean, it's fine as far as like a promo goes, but content wise, I was just like, okay, is that what's happening on SmackDown? It's a bunch of softies and stuff. Like, yeah, maybe
it
would bring more.
He's calling out
Shore on Raw, maybe, but
yeah, like he's calling out Shorty G, Baron Corbin, and Bray Wyatt, and it's like you're kind of all over the place with what you're saying.
Yeah. Also, before the thought leaves me, you are prepared to be called a racist, right? With those stickers and that logo.
I wrote a 2,000-word article on the state of the NWA.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out at noon tomorrow. I'm prepared to be called everything. But nobody can fight, so it's all good.
You'll run into that one.
Yeah. Why aren't
that
you just
hard,
marking out for everybody?
That hard,
is what they're going to say. Why do they have to be black? I don't know. Ask Vince McMahon.
Why aren't you marking out for? Oh, mark out, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be what it is, but we will power through.
Yeah, as soon as you said, yeah, I'm marking out for everybody. That's, remember when how much shit Xavier Woods caught when he posted
the picture with other black champions?
Yeah. Like, look at all these black
excellence.
All excellence matters. Fuck you. You fucking
yeah.
Peckerwood.
Bags.
How dare you. We've got, like I said earlier, we've got some voicemails. So what do they have? All right. Our good pal Chewy and really in like Pensacola or some shit? Something P, Florida. Parkwood. I don't know. Let's hear what Chewy's got to say this week. And I haven't listened to any of these. I did them last minute.
Here we go.
I'm introducing the show, and I'm like fucking uploading the damn voicemails to the Blog Talk servers. And so, yeah, hopefully Chewy ain't saying the wild shit. And the odds of that are probably pretty high.
Greetings, good people.
Oh, boy.
Chewy again. Well, here, I ain't going to talk shit today because I don't feel like it. Well,
I don't believe
I don't plan on talking shit. That's my cat, by the way.
See?
Anyway.
All right.
So, just two things. One, I was watching Raw, and your boy KO came out. And, you know, I get it. You know, he done switched out to a black and red motif and shit. And, you know, he's on Raw, and Raw is a black and red motif. But the fact that we got this big, tattooed white guy wearing black boots with red laces, I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I couldn't get away from that. I'm like, yo, there was nobody in the back of my head said, you know, Kev, I get that you want to wear black and red, but you might not want to look like a violent skinhead while doing it, though. Just a thought. Like, God damn, boy. Anyway, my homeboy told me Arn Anderson came up with a new Four Horsemen or something about Braun and Cody and some other niggas. I don't even remember. But my question to y'all is, y'all get to pick a Four Horsemen today of current wrestlers anywhere in the world. And I said to my homeboy, I came up with Dash and Dawson, clearly. Then I said, well, you know, Roderick Strong has been in every war game. He's kind of basically the Tully Blanchard. So I'd go with Tully. And that's why you come over the top with Nick Aldis because, I mean, he's just English for Claire. Like, that's clearly what he's doing. But I said, if you want to break the mold, though, swap out Roderick Strong and put in La Sombra because then you get a color face and you get a black woman as J.J. Dillon with that. So it's like, you know, I got kind of fucked with that. Who do y'all pick? That's it. That's it. I'm done. No more. Toodles.
All right. He does have an addendum. It's 30 seconds to play. Yeah, I'm going to go with no on all those picks, not all this. I don't know the woman you said. I didn't hear you, or I couldn't recognize who he said. But Dash and Dawson, as good as they are, and as they're not horsemen, they're not styling profile. I mean, unless we're just like putting
or
together a good faction, but you specifically said horsemen of today's guys, and they ain't it. You could liken them to some another team. I'm sure, absolutely sure of it. But it ain't the horsemen. They're not. Remember, they were like picking up the money and like oh shit, and they're like poor guys who like who they also ain't going guys. Back. They also ain't going back to that trailer park.
they
chew fucking the one with the mutton chops. Chews like shit in the chaw or whatever the fuck, you know, tobacco chew. So nah, they not horsemen. Aldis, he is. Yes, you can build around. I'll take that. So, who you have anybody that jumps out that you might want to add?
So I like the caveat.
I agree.
Of throwing a woman in there. So I do like Andrade. Like I like his pick for Andrade. I thought that was good. Let's say Andrade, Shayna Baszler as the enforcer. I'm trying to I want Andrade in there, but he's not like my top guy, so maybe he doesn't fit. If I have to have a tag team in there, let's go. I mean, the Usos don't have that look, but you know, like that's who I go with. Man, and it's funny. Like this is what I have: American Alpha, Shayna Baszler, Scorpio Sky. And my manager is, man, I love Stokely, but he's a comedy manager.
Jim Cornette?
My manager's Dustin Rhodes.
Glad we're not doing this remote.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. American Alpha, okay. Shayna Baszler, Scorpio Sky, Dustin Rhodes. That's my four horsemen.
My four horsemen, I'm going with Nick Aldis, Charlotte Flair. Tag team or to have somebody like Yeah, I'd have to think about it a little bit, but I definitely Aldis and Charlotte Flair are anchoring my four horsemen, and I have Charlotte as a wrestler, not necessarily as a J.D. Dillon type. Let's play Chewy's second part.
Damn, I should just came to me. My homeboy, he just called me up talking about it right now. He came with a lineup, and I tweaked a little bit. We're like, how do we fix this differently? We can't make all this, right? But we go off script. We put Tessa Blanchard in to be a Blanchard, clearly. We put Jordan Grace in, and then it's Langston. But you keep Woods as the J.J. Dillon. So now we have...
I like Woods as J.J. Dillon.
All this shit going on. I fucks with it. All right, I'm done. Stop bothering y'all.
Does
tell Cam PSM.
Wow.
What was that last thing? Tell you what?
Well, you called me a simp because what was I doing? No. He asked me if I was reviewing Raw on Monday, and I told him originally I was, but I had a date. So yeah, it happens.
Wait a second. So. Wow, I can infer a lot from that, but I won't.
It was not. I had the date first, but Wade asked me, and I already had it set.
No. I get it, but I don't. I'm more of the like, since when did going out with women become a?
Yeah, it's like that's he's joking, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I hope so.
he's joking.
Okay, yeah. That's a good one. I like Jordan Grace in there.
Xavier, I'm not talk sure. about Travis. We didn't talk not about sure. Sandman and Jordan Grace. My God. Like
I thought it was who but didn't Tessa actually say something? She's the one that cut the promo, right?
When you say cut the promo, what do you mean?
She went out in front of the crowd and said, yeah, there's somebody in the back, and
well, sure, but
he's known for.
I mean, Jordan Grace,
what, like everybody was talking about, like what,
with
like
names
I've seen
on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
but
like,
was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just the idea that number one, that women shouldn't main event a wrestling show is dumb.
It's not because I don't necessarily, it's not because of women. I just don't trust the fans.
Yeah, like
yeah, that's not
whoever you go to see. Whoever, and I'm trying to explain this to Pina, like, whoever they're paying their money to see, like, that's who should main event. Like, whoever's the most popular act, and on that card, like, that those are the most popular acts. Like, that's just what it is. You know, like, you couldn't even argue that Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey shouldn't have main evented at WrestleMania if you watched the product. Like, you knew.
The only argument would be it just should have been a one-on-one and Charlotte shouldn't have been in there.
Exactly. That's why I said two names, though.
That's the only argument.
But on the flip side, for him to say any man with any wrestling experience will tell you the same thing is absolutely sinister. Like, that's an insidious thing to say.
Yeah, because now all men have to fucking do that thing and be like, not me, or you're complicit.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So just for the record, not me, or I'm not in that demo. He said wrestlers with experience, but as a wrestling fan for 30 fucking years, 34 years, and doing this for 11, you know, like, not me, motherfucker. Fuck you. What kind of shit is that to say? I wouldn't even have said that in 2007 when the talent just wasn't there. I would have been like, well, maybe not at this fucking moment with this property. And I mean, on the mainstream, like in WWE and whatever TNA was doing. I think they were past there. No, I guess at that point, Gail Kim and Austin Cole maybe been at their fair share of stuff. But yeah, strictly WWE, especially, and who gets the time and energy in the media. I would have caveat here. Here's a little asterisk. Just not right now. Like, I wouldn't main event with any of these women. No.
Mm-hmm.
But if done right, and you build somebody up, and you have the people with credibility, and acknowledge that that's not, you can't do that in a year, and it, you know, something that took time, it took a cultural change, but we got there, and we're here. We're literally living in it. Like, fam. It's that thing, like, once you get past something, it's just like, this is such a 2014 argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, man, that's an old, it just, when you hear it said out loud, it's just like, oh, that's jarring. Like, are you not paying attention? Are you not paying attention?
Knowing what we know.
I'm not at this point. I don't think half the people there are there for a collective, all of the women that were at that festival, or not the festival, the thing that was there. But there's a sizable amount of people that were there because they knew Jordan Grace was going to be there. They knew Tessa Blanchard was going to be there. Because they knew Camille was going to be there. Like, Britt Whitmire was like, I went down there to get my picture with two people. And that was Tennille Dashwood, Emma, and Camille Hard Rock or something. I haven't seen her, but I hear a lot of good things from NWA, woman from NWA. And he did, and that's who he wanted to see. You know, almost 50-year-old wrestling fan. You know, he wasn't there to see a bunch of, I mean, he was there to see legends and, you know, current day guys, but his money was on two women that wrestle and have legitimate skills and in-ring stuff and are real athletes. He can get his picture taken with fucking Devin or Rick. Okay. Yeah. I like that Four Horsemen team. I want to think about that a little more. While we're in the mood, let's listen to Brian Austin's email or voicemail. He chimes in. Oh, did I delete it? How did that happen?
I think this is an old one. This is marked 1127, but.
Hey, Trav. Hey, Kent. Hey, Rich. This is Brian calling from Phoenix. I want to say.
Yeah, it's definitely the old one from last week. All right, I'll re-upload that one and get that in the mix. In the meantime, we can read an email from Jabron. He chimes in from Vegas. What up, fellas? I have two questions for y'all this week. Do you know if Sami Zayn is hurt and if that's why he's with Nakamura? I like what they're doing with Nakamura. Just wondering why he hasn't been, wondering why Sami hasn't been in the ring much in the past few months. You know anything about Sami's status?
I think it's just a slow return. You know, he had that double surgery, and he did have a couple of matches after that. I think it's just being cautious.
Okay. And if they can, you know, and if he can serve a purpose, not to be like, weird but rude about it, but he's out there serving him.
Yeah, doing a fine job, doing a great job.
Yeah. And they're filling the void because Nakamura certainly wasn't lighting things up as a character, and a part of that was just because he just couldn't connect because they wasn't letting him cut promos the way he could if he was to connect, but they had him do stupid, childlike. I'm already talking to my second language, but I'm going to obscure my talking by having a damn mouthpiece in when I cut my promo. Genius level ideas, WWE. He's fine. He's doing what he's doing, and that's it's working. God, he's obnoxious as fuck.
Yeah, all the way. Again, like, him and Kevin Owens are just so interesting to me because, you know, not knowing what goes on in their household specifically, they seem like just two of the best people in the whole world. You know, like, they just seem like genuinely, thoroughly good people who want to leave, like, a mark on this place when they leave. And they can just play some of the worst, most annoying, nastiest characters you've ever seen to each other. Just supreme talents. They really both are.
And a second question from Jabron. I think this new Fiend belt is probably the most creative belt design WWE has done in a long time. What are your top five belt designs? It doesn't have to be just WWE. Thanks, fellas. I'll be listening. Well, I think you're probably one of a few people. I think most people, I think it's fine looking, whatever it is, creative and cool. But when you see that price and you hear that, that just takes so much away from any kind of, that looks neat. Favorite belts? You got something off the top?
No, go ahead.
I like and doesn't get a lot of love, but JBL's horn belt was pretty cool. Most people just like, they just slapped a gimmick on a belt, but I thought big gaudy Texan with the horns on the front of his truck or on the front of his limo, like, yeah, he gaudy his belt up in that way.
Mm.
The first spinner belt, U.S. title belt, because it worked with the time, you know, this was so, like, one of the very few times where they connected in the moment, or relatively in the moment. They didn't wait 5 years till something. They did with the title. It lasted way too long. But that first U.S. title spinner belt was fucking dope as fuck. I don't care how silly it is. It's pretty cool. And the million dollar title is probably always going to be my absolutely favorite over the top gaudy fucking belt ever. Just like 9 year old me just wanting that thing so bad, just never went anywhere 30 years later.
So that's three. I need to try to think of some non-WWE. I like the WCW US title belt. That was always
me too.
I liked, or at least the one that like right as they ended. That was, that was cool. And yeah, I don't know. Sure, any I can take a look.
I'm high on the Winged Eagle belt, of course. The Intercontinental title, they just retired. That was the old one. Probably, I'm still more of a black leather guy. But yeah, the Shawn Michaels Bret Hart era IC title. So what? That's two. Big gold belt, of course. I'm a sucker for the WCW Cruiserweight belt. With those, I'd probably say I did really like the Attitude Era WWF title. Like, I like that.
The circle one that Triple H had.
Yeah, I like that.
Perfect circle one. That was really cool. I did like a few of the X Division titles before they got overly overly complicated. And I did. I really, really, really liked the first NXT belt.
I like the current NXT belt a lot. Like, I'm really a big fan of that one.
I like the old US. Or do we still? Who's the US champion?
Rey Mysterio, as a matter of fact.
Is it still the octagon looking one?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay, I haven't seen that belt.
Who has it? I like the current World Universal Women's design. Like, I think that's a good belt. Like, whoever designed that, it's very practical. It looks like a title. I mean, there are very few that I don't like, Travis, really. Like, I didn't. Like I said, John Cena's spinner belt is WWE title spinner belt. Wore out its welcome pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I didn't like the WWE Undisputed title.
You didn't like
that? I just thought the centerpiece was too wide.
Okay.
And
that's
so
one belt out.
Any champion who was a different size.
Like, it works for Lesnar.
Kind of silly on.
But yeah, could you imagine Jeff Hardy if at the time, you know, in 04, if he had won that thing?
Yeah. Like, I hated the ECW title. Not the actual ECW title. Like, I like
what the
ECW
17 pounds of platinum
ECW title. The big silver one, I hated it.
The 17 pounds of platinum? Damn. That's a special place. I was fan.
I hated it. It was so bad. And primarily because if it wasn't Jack Swagger or Mark Henry or Big Show, it looked stupid.
Looked giant,
And this isn't even like, this is a great question, but narrowing it down to five is hard because there's so many I liked.
There's so
like, I like the Attitude Era tag titles.
Yeah.
Like, it's so many of them. If I had to say five, I would go Winged Eagle, IC, Big Gold, Cruiserweight, and probably WCW US.
Okay. All right, now I got Brian's voicemail queued up. Let's listen.
Hey, East Coast cast. Hey, Trav. Hey, Cam.
Go ahead, Cam.
As you listen to that, let me step out for 1 second.
Oh, well, I was about to play it.
We'll play it.
Oh, you can hear. Oh, okay.
Hey, East Coast cast. Hey, Trav. Hey, Cam. Hey, Rich. This is Brian calling from Phoenix. Hopefully everybody has a really good night. So my question / statement more about is from Raw. On February, on December the 2nd. And this is with Charlotte versus the women's tag team champions, Asuka and Kairi Sane. So I'm not a fan of those type of matches, even though I like if the babyface says, hey, I can take them both on. Now, according to Wade Keller's his write-up, is that match went 15 minutes. So my question to you, Trav and Cam, and of course Rich as well, is that do you think that match went on too long? Now, of course, Charlotte's a 10-time women's champion, but we have Kairi Sane and Asuka. Both of them were former NXT champions, and both of them are pretty dominant in their own right. So should it took Charlotte that long, or should it took Asuka and Kairi that long to beat Charlotte? And then what's your overall thoughts of these handicap matches?
Now, going back to Asuka back when she was in NXT, if you remember, she said she did really a fatal four-way with her against the Iconics, and I believe it was Nikki Cross, where Asuka said, "I'll take all of them on." So, but she ended up winning the match and kept her title. So I just want to get your takes on that. Hopefully you have a real good night, Cam, Trav, and Rich, and I'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot. Bye.
So he says the Kabuki Warriors won that match. I thought Charlotte, did Charlotte win or did the Kabukis win? Oh, I guess Cam's not back here. Because now I'm a bit confused. And yes, she did in that four-way. And, boy, that was a time. She held that division down for that, like, six-month stretch where they had all their talent, minus Asuka, and Nikki Cross was really just getting kind of started.
And who is that?
Yeah, his question was about what we talked about earlier, the handicap match. He said it took the Kabukis 15 minutes to beat Charlotte. I thought they beat her. Okay. So at least
they beat her.
They won. Okay, fine. I'm less upset with it as I was when we talked about it in the open. Because I don't know if you, I guess you didn't, you probably didn't say it, but I think I just assumed Charlotte won. So at least Charlotte lost. Okay, it took him 15 minutes to beat her. You know, okay. She's a tough baby face, like Brian said, 10-time champion, blah, blah, blah. But like he also said, they're formidable in their own right. So you got to take some bad with some good. Shave 5 minutes off, I probably have less of a problem with it. It obviously was a traditional. They had to tag in. It was a tornado rules or whatever you would call it. Or it wasn't a 2-on-1 match. It was a handicap match. So, yeah, you have to tag in a handicap match. Okay, I'm less irritated. But and then he also talked – he asked about Asuka winning a four-way against the Iconics and Nikki Cross. And she screamed, I'll take on all of them. And just reminiscing about how she held that division down for 6 months when it was just it was bare bones. It was her, the Iconics, Nikki Cross, and, you know, Ember Moon winning squash matches because they were building her up in the background to, you know, eventually get to the Asuka match. You know, that had to take, you know, a while. That was some tough time, and she did her thing. But, yeah, so we talked about that earlier, Brian, the 2-on-1 or the handicap match aspect. Not fans, but at least, like I said, Charlotte lost. All right, let's head up to New York, talk to Mike. You want to be like Mike, hit the Constellation lines up, 347-202-0103. Let's get Mike on here. Mike, what's going on, man?
What up?
Trav, Cam, what's going on, fella? Before we get heavy-centric, Summertime Shootouts 3, Fab killed that shit.
That's what I heard.
Fire, hey, and I'm fucking with them. Yeah, go ahead, Trav.
Hey, Mike, do you fuck with Griselda Records?
Fire. Them boys, yo. I'm a real breather.
Right,
that's the second thing I was.
I told you, yeah.
That's the second shit I was gonna say. Them Griselda boys is a problem, man.
My brother hit me up earlier, texted me like, "Yo, you heard of Griselda Records?" I was like, "I don't know," not knowingly. I never heard them. So he was like, "Yeah, go, you know, WWCD or whatever the mixtape is called." So I went to YouTube. There it was, and I listened. I'm like, "Okay, we got Raekwon on the intro and." You know, he's really into him. But then the first track started, and I just texted him back. I was like, oh, boom, boom, bap with the shoulder shrugs. I was just like, you know, he was like, oh, I got heavy boom vibes. He thought I was really going to fuck with him, and I just liked him. I'm like, yeah, all right, you know, that's just not
boom bap.
know.
It's Little Baptist, but it's kind of sped up to, you know, the touch, you know, nowadays subject type shit.
Mm-hmm. But, no. It's quality.
Aside from that, what I didn't know, doing a little knowledge on them cats,
mm-hmm.
Two of them is brothers, which is the leader, mm-hmm. I believe his name is Westside Gunn and Conway.
Mm-hmm.
And they are actually big wrestling fans. Do you know what their do you know what their alias is? Hall and Nash.
Yeah.
Hall and Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Hall and Nash, that's what they call each other. Like, right, they remind me of the whole Major Figure State property. Like when that first thing, you know, first start hitting off like that. Because them boys spit, them boys rhyme. But it's like they do Benny the Butcher in the group to make it, like, he pretty much the face man.
Yeah, Benny's who does the interviews. Like, yeah.
Is the Blade there too? Blade with him?
Yeah. And he's, and you know, they, Jay gave them dudes like some multi-million dollars. But I just held the record. Yeah, so they signed the Rock Nation. Oh, yeah, you know, and he signed them direct. Like, he saw something in the cat. So, yeah, I mean, it's not
that,
though. You
know. Mike, my brother said, he said if this was 1999, you'd be bumping them. I was like, look, I said, my text back was, shit, I did cop the Wu Syndicate joint in 99, so you fucking right, I got him and eating this shit up, I was getting Wu Syndicate, you damn right out of him.
Wu Syndicate, you was going knee deep.
I mean,
I just checked my wallet right now, just to make sure it was still there.
Yeah.
Newport
Killer Army.
Yeah, I was listening to that first Killer Army joint. The first three tracks on that first Killer Army tape is like with Gigantic and Alassi's Everything and something else on it. The rest of that shit is butt, but when first open the three tracks go fucking hard. God damn.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind? What we got?
I mean, coming out of Raw, I'm gonna start from there. Coming out of Raw, only thing I agree with Cam that caught my eye that struck me was that Drew McIntyre looked like a complete and utter fucking superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they need the fucking soul to put the strap the rockets to do with that. And it seems like they're giving him a little bit more leeway to talk and be his, you know, feel comfortable as himself and not script him so heavy. Or at least they're leading you to believe that. But he came off like a superstar from how he moved to the end of the match when he just laid on his back and just kept up. Like, he just, everything about him was like, yo, why are they not fucking paving the road for this cat to fucking win the Rumble? Because I don't know, like, from what I'm hearing and the plan that they got going with this maybe this Rock Kane 2 or Brock versus Tyson Fury shit, I don't know.
Think about
that on
how
top of me.
That is, especially with, like, a four-month build. That sounds terrible. Nobody cared the first time.
And then Brock Tyson Fury, it would just be an obvious, like, oh, they're trying to salvage something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the plan was like, or they had to blow their wad at the Saudi show. Now they're trying to, you know, I don't know, because I'm not sure if everything works out. I don't think we could just take it for granted. Tyson Fury is going to be available at the beginning of April to do wrestling shit.
So let me ask you guys, does Brock go into Mania again as champion, or do you see, you know, them taking him, you know, taking it off of him if he's going to do, like, an attraction match like that? Because I don't, like, that would be just an attraction match.
Yeah, he's going to be the champ. And he's not showing up until the Rumble. And then he probably won't show up.
Yeah, they already let that be known.
Yeah, and then after that, he probably won't show up until WrestleMania build.
Until Mania build. Me.
Yep.
So
at least
do?
In the meantime, they put a decent amount of heat on the universe, on the U.S. title. They had all those guys coming out, you know, I want it. Had Ray win that match and then had Ray go on to win the title.
Yeah.
So for some reason, I don't see down the line.
Yeah, I smell a three-way coming. Ray, Ricochet, and Humberto Carrillo. I see a three-way coming.
All babyface three-way?
Yep. I guess
that's better than
Carrillo might heal. I mean, that'd be cool if they, you know, heal Carrillo.
No.
Like a raid.
No, man. First off, it's too early for that. Like, nobody cares about him as a babyface before you turn him heel. Plus, he's a babyface. Ain't shit about him that's a heel.
Yeah, scrap that. He looked too Menudo-ish. Like,
yeah,
he's
too young.
Too,
I guess one
boys.
Thing for Witch's face that in NXT with the dimples and the pretty boy.
Angel Garza?
Yeah, to be a heel. Because he looks like a grown-ass man that's like, you know, can do some things and maybe can fight. Korea just seems like a 17-year-old kid. This is his first job. And he's a little maybe, and over his head, maybe he can come through, but he ain't a bad guy. Because he's too, like, at all to be a bad guy. A year from now, 2 years from now, he starts getting full of himself and, you know, gets a girlfriend or, you know, wins himself a secondary championship and by fluke, you know, over a heel that they want to, you know, transition from. And all of a sudden, you know, he got cocky in Korea that people like care about, but now, anyway.
Well,
he turns on Ray a year from now, and we can go into WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm
2021
I'm not.
With Ray in Korea, but nothing, no time soon with him.
I mean, not the immediate future. You know, let him get a year or two and grow a little 5 o'clock shadow or something, you know, around his face or some shit like that. You know what I mean? Had a, you know, give him a little bad boy edge, you know, a year or two down the line. But what I'm hitting for, Trav and Cam, is that I don't want to see another Mania build of who, you know what I mean, who goes after Brock this year. We done waste some time and did that shit.
Well, you better get damn used to it, Mike.
Like,
you think they're going to lose at the Rumble?
I mean, they should be trying to churn out. This is the
your best
2019
is that they start heating up Drew McIntyre, and he wins the Rumble and turns face or something, I don't know, or stays heel, and that'd be a good dynamic. Like, you know, I'm sick of Brock, but
I mean,
still a piece of shit.
Yeah. It's time to start getting all these other players ready. You know what I'm saying? It's the end of the decade. We going in the 2020s now, like. Same format, same bullshit. They need to, you know what I mean, freshen things up. But I will say as much on the NXT side, they definitely had the momentum. The show was more cohesive. Well, it has been over the past couple weeks. I mean, don't get it fucked up. AEW, they still, you know, been doing their thing. But, I mean, it's like, they kind of like, seems like it, like they're adjusting on the fly now, to, you know, instead of just keeping tunnel vision. But, what we talked about, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, probably a month ago, I think it's coming back to bite them on their ass. And that being not putting, you know what I mean, the main guys over. It's like, how are you trying to get newer talent over and you guys haven't really established yourself and got yourself over, you know what I mean, to the prime time U.S., you know what I mean, U.S. crowd. Like, I think that's coming back to kind of haunt them. Like,
well, at least with Cody, he lost to top folks, you know, on TV and on pay per view after TV. You know, he lost to Jericho. Before that, he lost to beat his brother, the one I was at in Vegas.
But then, you know, Kenny's losing to nobody. Not nobody's, but he's losing consistently. The Young Bucks are losing all their matches, or most of them. I don't necessarily think that's the reason. I don't think losing is why maybe people have tuned out.
No, I don't consider that the main reason, but
I think it's how they produce their show and how their show is formatted and how their show feels is why people don't. And that they don't have, I don't want to say they don't have stars because they have a few, but where they don't,
but
they don't seem to be making great decisions. And I'd give you Chris Statlander versus Amy Sakura as a prime example, or anything Britt Baker has done not in Pittsburgh in the fucking 8 weeks they've been on TV.
Right.
They made Britt Baker look like a fucking chump, except in her hometown. The most marketable woman they got on their roster before Chris Statlander showed up, they had looking like a fucking cornball.
And my thing is, who is the Bucks? Who is Omega? I mean, we kind of know who Cody is, but who are these guys? They should be featuring video packages, you know.
We should know more about Kenny Omega. We should know a lot more about Kenny Omega.
Because he's, regardless of what, he's going to be the face of the company. He is going to be the main guy of the company. So my thing is, we should be featuring him in video packages and knowing more, you know. Who the hell Kenny Omega is? We know who he is, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Tom, Dick, and Jane that's watching the TV show, they might not know who he is.
That's another thing they do. They assume everybody knows everybody, and they assume people are watching their fucking internet content, which is bullshit.
No.
Which I don't understand why they're still putting so much emphasis in being the elite. Not that they should just drop it, but they need to bring some of that shit to TV if it's so good.
Right.
It's so good, but if it's so good, if you think it's so good, put it on your nationally cabled TV show. And I made my rant about AEW Dark. Stop putting good promos and good matches on a show for fucking YouTube.
On fucking Dark. I don't understand it either, Trav. I don't understand it either. Why? Like, it seems like Dark is more of a cooler watch. Because
I don't know, because I'm not fucking going to YouTube to watch my fucking wrestling show.
And not to mention
one that's got a goddamn TV show, 2 hour block on nationally syndicated cable. No.
Right. And not to mention with the being the elite this week, they let the Inner Circle take over the shit, and that shit was fucking hilarious. They let the Inner Circle guys take over.
Mm.
So you got Santana all teasing them in their regular cadence, cursing, fucking around. Sammy Guevara is such a fucking star. He is going to be a fucking star. He's going to be, like, to me, those are my two, like, homegrown. Well, I got three, like, but my two immediate homegrown talents that I think is just going to just come shine through for AEW, and that's Sammy Guevara and MJF. And also, I like the dynamic of Luchasaurus, because Luchasaurus, not for nothing, not saying he's him, but not for nothing, wholeheartedly, he reminds me of a young, you know what I mean, surfer cat that came along on the turning side of organizations, and, you know what I mean, in the late 80s, named Sting. Like, as far as, like,
I guess that makes sense,
as far as charisma.
Because people really go for him, and I don't get it. So I guess that's a fair comparison.
Yeah.
Really, why do people go crazy for Luchasaurus? I'd be like, do they see something I don't see?
Dude is good. Like the for a big kid, for like dude is pretty good.
I just haven't been exposed to him enough. So everything I know is
pretty
just
good.
What I saw, the limited stuff I saw in Vegas, and I think he was in a battle royal, so that's not exactly where you can feature.
But I could see them, you know, keeping that group together for a while, and them probably being tag champs down the line, him and Jungle Boy. But the thing with a another thing with AEW, they need to introduce another championship. Like, they need to introduce another mid-card, like the Jericho title, which is one of my favorite belts right now. That
it looks really good, by the way. I thought it was too soon
yeah.
for me to say it's one of my top five, but that is a good looking title.
No, that belt is awesome. But that needs to have more of a big fight feel. That should be one of the keys to drawing their pay-per-views, knowing that we got AEW World title match every pay-per-view. Like, they need to wean it off and stop letting him, you know, defend it on TV ever so often. They should introduce a television title or, you know what I mean, to some degree. And to me, like, I'm not in the media, but somewhere down, you know, summertime 2020, they need to introduce a junior heavyweight cruiser division and let that shit be the house that Phoenix built for a while.
They should have a title on Dark. Like, they really should.
Yeah.
Like,
to me, they need a title to build around Phoenix. Because Phoenix is the second tier to the top, like, probably the next, you know, best thing they got.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, like, he's the next best thing they got to Rey Mysterio. But, you know, also on the ROH front, you know, they probably getting a couple of those guys, too. Because, you know, Marty Scurll contract is coming up. Bandido's contract is coming up. Brody Lee's contract is coming up. You got a lot of dudes' contracts coming up in the ROH, and they ain't re-signed.
Yeah.
And then next year, you got a Revival contract up. January, you got Luke Harper contract up.
Who they took right back off TV after putting them on TV. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, see, the Revival was smart. They didn't take the double money that AJ and Gallows and Anderson and all those, you know what I mean? All those cats took. Even Sasha got her to resign. They got her to resign as well.
Who? Wait, who? Who? She who?
Sasha Banks.
Sasha, oh, okay.
They got Sasha Banks to resign. Because I know AEW, I mean, as soon as Tessa Blanchard's contract is up, I know they are fucking going for her. If they don't, they are done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Her, Jordan Grace, all fucking
yeah.
Emma, Tennille Dashwood, why isn't she getting off? Why I said this
right.
when after I left Vegas. I was like, why the fuck isn't it? Emma and every available top tier woman that's not in WWE in this company.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
They're
trying to get fucking Riho and Sheeta and people over that might be good, decent wrestlers, but
yeah.
we don't know them bitches. And they don't. It's cool.
Why the fuck is not Eva Lee signed? Eva Lee is a fucking incredible, elevated, great performer. Why didn't
yeah,
Sadie Martinez?
I feel like we've been saying that for a long time. Same thing with, yeah, I don't know. I think they thought we got, you know, if it was between, you know, Martinez and Mia Yim, they're like, well, we got a Mia Yim already. Or if they had assigned, you know, Mercedes first. Because they kind of do feel a similar, if you're, again, I don't know if you were listening, but Kevin, I had this conversation. But and I want to make it clear that I'm coming from a WWE perspective. You know, they still fucking certain look brown, you know, ethnically. Not ambiguous. They are what they are. One's like some kind of Latina and the other is, you know, Asian. But, you know, brown women, fine, tattooed, kind of, you know, urban. Like, we got one of those. And that's as far as they go. I thought after the Mae Young, Mercedes Martinez had some kind of spot, some kind of run. Nope, she did a few jobs on NXT, and that was it. Maybe it just might not have been a good fit. She might not have wanted to take that $60,000 that they might have been offering her or whatever. But yes, AEW surely could use Tennille Dashwood, Mercedes Martinez, and you know a few others, and that probably could be shaken available if they're not exactly available.
Right.
Like, I'm not a billionaire owner or billionaire son owner. Come on,
right.
Buy us a fucking contract.
It's too early for a fucking what's this girl? The big girl that they were pushing.
Nyla Rose.
She's not ready.
She's
green as goose shit. She ain't ready. She ain't ready at all. But yeah, that might.
And they knew that when you got Riho beating her, and you know it's like yeah, they just don't have faith that she can.
But yeah, that might be one of the things that they need, you know, to help them along. They need instead of that fucking battle bowl ring. Rip off angle they doing. They need a mid card title. Like right now, a TV title with MJF, that would be the shit. Because who wouldn't want to see him get his ass whooped every week?
Yeah, I know. I remember Wade would always talk about a TV title in the context of you defend it one week, the next week they're establishing a number one contender for the next week. I don't think you can keep that pace, but if you cut that in half and you have somebody defended on TV, his title on TV, and it's just a TV title, but you build it up and he does it once a month, especially since they don't have monthly pay-per-views and they're quarterly or whatever they're going to be doing.
They're going
to
be
definitely built up. You can definitely build up to a monthly MJF TV title defense every month and establish for a month number one contenders and that kind of thing. And you do your angles and you run your matches and various promos and stuff. But once a month.
Well, as you can
see.
Yeah. I mean, as you can see that they're building on TV, is Moxley the guy that takes the title from Jericho? Or do you think Jericho should hold it? I guess, what's their big pay-per-view? September? You think he should hold it for that time?
That is quite the run.
Too long ago.
If he lost it in Vegas in this summer, that would work. They could do a story, and that's where Moxley debuted. But in the meantime, Jericho spends the next 6 months dodging and using his contractual influence and his championship influence to keep Moxley out of the title picture. You make it legit so Tony Khan could tweet like, our hands are tied and it seems like real. So you do stuff like that for the next four or five months, and then you book the match. By November or by April, Jericho's run out of. Say, so if Double or Nothing is, if they do another Vegas or another May pay-per-view in Vegas or another, if they have whatever's before that in April, March, February, say they do something in February. So between now and February, Moxley's trying to get a title match, and then he has to do something at that February show in order to finally get his thing, and then they build that from February to May, or March to May, whenever the hell.
Yeah.
And he wins it. And
yeah, that was
possibly the chance. Or Jericho retains, wherever, depends on where you are come next May.
Right. Two quick last things, and I'm out of here. I think the Fiend, and does he hold it to Mania or beyond Mania? I mean, because it's clear cut that, I mean, everything could always change, but as of how it looks, they're going Fiend Roman at Mania. They also, as far as the NWA deal, because you know they got their little pay-per-view next week, do you see season two or in the near future them getting picked up by not a big TV network, but, you know, per se, a mid-level, you know, somewhere on traditional TV? And that's all I got.
Yeah, appreciate you, Mike. That second thing first, man.
Make
them wait.
Yeah, because we move in the circles that we move in. You know, we were given information that, not that it was any type of confirmed deal, not that they were particularly close on it, but somebody let us know that NWA's goal, at least in the short term, was to get on WWE Network. And the stuff with Cornette, if anything, you know, put a hold on that. If that still comes to fruition, we'll see, but that caused an issue. You know, again, I think it's a really well-produced, smart, good-looking, interesting product. It's just that when that red flag comes up and you handle it the way you handle it, season two is really going to have to do – and then you end the season by thanking Jim Cornette. Like, I they continue to shoot themselves in the foot when they don't have to. Like, Travis, I don't know if you were watching the group chat. There was this thing about the 49ers announcer said that one of the reasons it's so hard to tackle Lamar Jackson is because that dark skin with the dark uniform and a dark ball causes an extra split second where you can't see the football, and then he's gone. Like, really said that. Like, these people in charge continue to volunteer information that nobody needs that ends up hurting everybody around them. So, like, thanking Jim Cornette at the end of the season where you either fired him or led him to resign based on a situation is stupid. So I think they're going to have a strong eventless season two before they make it onto any type of platform.
I had myself muted. I'm sitting here yelling about Lamar Smith.
That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Like, how? Like, how does – that doesn't even – on no level does that make any kind of sense.
The Cleveland Browns would be undefeated if that was the case. Because their uniforms are literally the same color as the ball. Like, it's so stupid.
Him a split second. No, it doesn't. His fucking
it's
fat,
so
quick muscle fiber gives him that split second. I mean, I'd have rather them said some ignorant shit like that than,
it's
like...
It's so stupid. It's so
the dark skin against the ball and the uniform. So what about home games when they wear white? Or do they never wear fucking light outfit or light music?
Oh, no, they wear purple sometimes. You know, black looks just like purple. Of course they wear white. Like, it's so stupid. It's the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah. Golly. All right, let's head down to Georgia and get Darrell in on this fun. Darrell, what's happening?
What up?
Not a thing. What's going on with you guys today?
You know, a little of this, a little of that.
Yeah.
So your mom.
Okay, then. Okay. Hopefully y'all don't carry no ball around and be looking the same way, chameleon type of style.
I'm saying.
Oh, man.
I think that's the only reason Cam was able to get out of Dallas Stadium with that stolen football was because, you know, he's brown and the ball's brown. Okay,
yeah,
you know,
he's
he chameleoned himself into the
big bulge on his arm.
Oh, my goodness.
Looked like he had Popeye on one arm. The ball just bled.
That's
in.
Ridiculous, man. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Been listening to everything y'all been saying today, man. Take in a lot of this stuff. Wrestling this past few days, was this past weekend or week was okay. Last week was good. Like certain things about both shows. I know one thing, though, sometimes the fans themselves and the tribalism with it get too much, you know. And you hate you hate looking or reading comments and stuff like that because, you know, now that NXT done beat AEW for 2 weeks, now NXT fans going all crazy saying crazy stuff.
Are they?
And
like,
before,
we won. Like, it's their team. Like, they get something out of it.
Like, they get a
like, you get paid from it. Like, you get paid from it and stuff like that. You know, when before they were saying, well, it's a marathon and stuff like that. Then you got, then also you got AEW fans. They go to the extreme, too. It's just hilarious what you hear. I thought the clever thing was now, especially when it came to the ratings, people say that now overnight ratings don't mean anything. When forever, I was told that they do. Now it's a 3-day period or a 2-day period.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Darrell, we're literally in the middle of massive media shift in how people consume their stuff. So what you could have said, what was true 3 years ago might not be true now, and it's certainly what was true 10 years ago ain't true now. So overnight start, the more and more people stop watching live shit, the less overnights matter. That's like just an intuitive kind of like, should make you go, oh,
well,
sure.
That would be the smart thing to say and say that over time, but not when you just, not when people say, especially just past past Monday or just last week, talk about how Raw dropped overnight. Remember when Friday, just two Fridays ago?
See, it's not an all or nothing thing, though.
Right,
like,
now,
it can be both. It cannot matter as much, but you're still concerned that the fucking overnights don't look as good. I mean, it's not, everything's not like just cut and dry.
But it wasn't, it wasn't, it wasn't
a changing landscape.
I'm not saying cut and dry, as in just for, if it's cut and dry for everybody in the party, but it was said, it was stating to this just because what happened this past Wednesday, and that's what, now it no longer matters. Just because these certain people lost, that's how it was seeming to look like. I'm just saying, how it's seeming to look like when I read the comments and stuff like that. That's all I'm saying, just put my take on it. I understand if it was in, looked at or said in general, but you know, that's what my taking of it. That's all.
Yeah.
I get what y'all was saying. I don't, y'all was saying earlier about y'all don't understand why they don't have all these women in AEW and stuff like that. I understand people want their women division to be better, but I get why they couldn't sign everybody like that, because as in people who not in control of the money, we think people just should spend the money. But we don't know if they could offer all these people money like that and stuff like that. So I give them the benefit of the doubt until you show otherwise.
What do we get? Why couldn't they? What? Are we assuming that they broke already?
I'm not assuming that they broke. I'm just assuming that they might have a budget. Like any reasonable company should.
Oh, sure. I'm
yeah,
sure,
but how much is it to pay Emma to be on your roster? Like, now, you're definitely going to have to pay Tessa Blanchard way more in 3 or 6 months or whatever
yeah, like,
you sign her than they would have.
If ROH is trying to sign women for $20,000, like, you have 40. We just do.
Right, and you probably got 80 to make, you know, but yes.
Yeah, and I understand not paying 80, but yeah, you have 40. You just, even if I believe they have a budget in place, like, what, well, Oscar was getting 60 to go to NXT, right? Like, you have 30. You just do. And the bigger thing is, like, I think that there's men in the men's division who are just there to be there. Like, it could have been a lot more balanced, and there could have been a lot more, a lot less dead weight. I mean, there's not, but when we
but
have guys that get
on
Twitter
on
and make
thing,
those
though.
Lists of 100 people who do this, I'm like, yo, my biggest thing was this. If I was in charge of AEW, I'm paying a full-time scout on the road. Like, I can afford that. Just like I can pay a wrestler, you know, however much to be at this event twice a week, I can pay a guy to show up at different wrestling events for a year and tell me what he's seen and scout talent that way. I could have been doing that for a year because almost everybody on that men's roster is somebody that everybody knows. Whether they're good, bad, or in between, they were named. They could have been finding new people, men and women. Like, there's no reason they shouldn't have had Big Swole from the jump, like, before the first show. But they didn't. And to me, that's a management thing. It's not a money thing. So,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm
well, they hired a bunch of their friends.
It's a pocketbook. It's
fucking Chuck Taylor's got a job. He fucking sucks. And, I know a lot of people, like, he's okay to a lot of people. He ain't drawn by him. He's one of his best friends match. You could have had Trent Beretta as a singles guy and as a mid-card singles guy, respectable mid-card singles guy, and not this bullshit go-nowhere tag team. That's embarrassing.
they do dumb shit. They do have a lot of dead weight. They got a bunch of fucking indie fucks that they know that they literally are friends with instead of people that
that's a focus
that
on
like y'all said
with Cam, what you and Cam said was management. And we could have focused on that in the beginning when they was out here offering all those people that y'all saying that just there and holding up stuff. They offer them crazy contracts. And now anybody else who come to them is expecting these same crazy contracts. And now you set yourself up for failure when you started that and then you was touting that. And that's what people were so hyped about, is about them even in the market by giving these people these max and super contracts. After a while, you even know you gotta be in their owner.
If it lets me.
Yeah. Okay, this was the last thing. Even though you got an NFL owner, remember now, NFL owners don't like to pay nobody nothing. Not a dime. So, people keep saying they got a billionaire, but a billionaire who in the NFL who don't want to pay nobody
nothing. Well, a billionaire
stuff. That's going to be...
That's also another misconception. Like, he kind of owns fucking... what's his name? His son does.
Yeah, so he don't control the money. And, they not making any money right now either. They just spending a whole lot of money. You're not hearing them saying about they making buku money. So they set themselves up for failure off rip. And that's something that you could go a deep dive in. And that's it for me.
Cool. Appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir.
So that that does it for another another week, another East Coast cast. Yeah, I appreciate y'all's continual listenership and interactions, and thanks for the emails and the tweets and the voicemails and everything. Cam, appreciate your time and your energy, your co-hosting ship. Oh, yeah. I should have announced this kind of when, in the middle of the show when we probably have a peak audience, that there will be no VIP this week. Rich is on assignment in California. Matter of fact, Rich got flewed out to Cali, and who knows what he's doing.
Making moves.
Mm-hmm. So, no VIP, so we'll be back at y'all next week on Blog Talk Radio, same time, same frequency, same megahertz. So, thanks, Cam. Thanks, y'all. We'll talk to y'all next week. We out.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.